Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We're back today with a kind of a YOLO little episode here. We're calling it a May We Meet Again, the 100 episode, because we miss it so much. It's the whole squad. We got Luke, Jimmy, B-Toms, Kyle, and me. It's been a few weeks since the finale dropped, and we've had some time to think. We're going to talk about the entire series at this point.
We've had a couple weeks to digest this ending. Has anyone flipped on their opinion of the show as a whole? Has anyone made their opinion stronger? What are you thinking?
I would say, if anything, my opinion's stronger. My opinion that I didn't like the fact that the transcending and all the way it went supernatural.
Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, just preparing for this, preparing in air quotes for this episode, just like looking through and like watching all the trailers for all the seasons, like reading character wikis and stuff. It's just the seasons 2 through 4 and the meat of the story happening like on the ground and all of the inner fighting between the clans and stuff was so fucking money that like looking back at that stuff compared to how we ended season 7 is kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, I honestly think that I was watching it because I was so upset that it was ending, and I just love the 100. I was watching it with those beer goggles where you're just like, oh, it's better than, and I honestly definitely think it's a stronger opinion that it's.
So you've soured on it while you've been
sitting
in it.
I still like the way they ended it based on how they wrote themselves into that corner, but I still don't like anything with the transcendence. And
yeah, I was okay. I'm still satisfied with the ending, and I was okay with the transcendence just because most of the conflict for these people, something the 100 has always done really well, is kind of towing the line between sci-fi and just really futuristic tech kind of stuff. And most of the conflict could be solved by their resourcefulness and their techie stuff. But I think this was endgame. This was series finale. They almost needed to bring in that supernatural element to overcome our heroes. You know, this was, they couldn't do anything about it. They were either transcending or dying. Like that is what it took to end the show. So I was okay with it. It felt a little forced for sure, but I have also always been understanding of the situation that they were put in, and I'm satisfied with how they pulled it together. So that's my thoughts on the conclusion. I'm still pretty satisfied.
I definitely agree that they had a situation they just couldn't deal with. But at the same time, I also know that the transcendence thing was going to be the plot anyway. So that's still my problem, you know?
I think plot-wise, the show does go pretty 0 to 100 in a bad way. We're just like you're saying, it didn't feel that transcendence was earned because if the seeds of transcendence were planted back in season 1 or 2, we would not even be having this conversation.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So I like to focus on how I think about the ending of the show in terms of character arcs. And when I think about it like that, I'm so satisfied with pretty much everyone except for Clark. Bellamy.
I would say Clark. Yeah.
Wait,
I'd say Clark.
Clark
too.
Okay, sure. But definitely not Bellamy, right? You're not saying.
Oh, Bellamy's trash. Yeah, but okay. I'm saying Clark is also. Bellamy is fully trash. Like, but that's not the writer's fault. Clark makes me think. Okay, Brian's looking at me weird.
Well, I'm just saying, you got to that conclusion that you weren't satisfied with Clark very quickly. Like, what are your huge gripes with Clark's ending?
So, let me just bring it back real quick. So, the CW is really good at dropping seasons the minute they're done. So, season 7 dropped on Netflix a week after everything concluded. Now, I guess Netflix, one, it's new to Netflix, that season. Two, it knows I watched the 100. So every time I go on Netflix, it's the trailer that pops up, and it's always Clark and Finn.
We didn't make it to Mount Weather.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just so, like, it's so classic, nostalgic, the 100. Yeah. And it makes me go, that's not the Clark I know. Like, total assassination of her character throughout season 7. And I really don't think it was the writer's fault for either of those characters.
That Finn trailer that you're talking about, where he's talking about Mount Weather, it goes back to what I was saying about the plot, where pretty much nothing on Earth that
ever
happened
mattered.
Ever mattered because it all came down to transcendence.
Yeah.
And I guess that's probably where your biggest
and the crazy thing about it is that Bill, quote unquote, knew about it even in like the prequel times or almost around the prequel times. So what is the point ever of anything? And now we're going to get a prequel. What's the point of that?
Yeah, that's a good point, too, when you're saying that Bill knew about it, because you could also say that Callie knew about it. And it's odd that there was no... Was there any grounder lore throughout while we were on the ground about it at all.
Only Shade Ada says I saw the anomaly in my head because of having this flame.
Okay, wait, question. They never brought up transcendence while they were still on Earth. Like, Bill didn't know.
That's what I'm saying.
You said
You're talking about Bill.
I'm saying Bill, call me Bill, did not know that transcendence was the end game while they were on Earth. Like, when they were still trying to figure out the anomaly stone, Becca figuring that out. Bill had no idea what that anomaly stone was going to do until Becca was like, yo, your girl Becca's here. I'm gonna click, yeah, click, but- click, click, clack, clack, and whatever it might be.
Yeah, but the point is, at whatever moment, it's the time, you know, say it's the moment that Judgment Day is shown by Becca, that's still before the prequel. So anything from that moment on doesn't matter because Bill was tech quote unquote right the whole time.
True.
And transcendence is the only thing that matters.
I just want to say that Callie did not know about transcendence.
No, I don't think. No, I agree.
Yeah.
It's definitely upsetting, but.
Yeah. And I want to say again, Clark
let's focus on Clark.
Without a doubt. So something the Bingetown crew did before we started a podcast was we did top 10 shows, top 10 characters from those shows, favorite episode. We just did kind of an exercise before when we didn't even know what we were going to do as a podcast. And I recently sent that to a friend who watched The 100, and she goes, Clark's your favorite? Because she was my lit before season 7, Clark was my 100% favorite character. She was like, what the fuck? And she's like a Raven stan, so whatever. But and who isn't?
Aren't we all?
Please. I'm like, come on. But Clark really was so solid. 1 through 6, faltered a little in 5. But I will die on the hill that Clark is incredible.
Luke's like, taking off
until
his
7. I can't get behind most of the things Clark did in 7, but I just want to keep reiterating. I love her so much.
She's the lever puller, and however they make her get there in each season, they get her there. So yeah. I like to just think of it simply that's her goal. She bears it so they don't have to.
She bears it, baby.
And it's sloppy how they get there in some seasons, especially I was not a personal fan of how they assassinated her character to only be revolved around Maddie all the way back in season 5. That was the first time Clark ever really pissed me off. I forgave her by the end of season 5 and season 6-ish because that became her character. But I go so back and forth because even at the end of, I felt better about Clark at the end of season 7 than I did through season 5.
If they would have had her not kill Bellamy, I would have been fine with Clark this season. I think they destroyed her character by having her kill Bellamy. And now that,
and is that more the writing, or is that, again, can we link that back to Bellamy's act? Or I mean,
Bob Morley actually was on an Instagram live that was posted on Instagram where he said that him and Eliza Taylor agree that her character was screwed by that situation.
Really?
He did?
Mm-hmm. It was in like some kind of like charity cameo thing.
Wait, by what situation exactly?
She killed Bellamy.
Oh.
Well, if they say it, I agree.
It's also crazy when you think, when people were saying that, what's it like, the start of season 6 and the end of season 7 is like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the characters.
The timeline there.
Yeah. So literally,
let's talk about that.
Bob is pumping her hard or whatever it is, keeping her alive, saying, oh my God, I need you. I need you. And then 2 weeks later, she's like, screw you, bro.
Yeah, exactly. It's just when you think of it in the time that actually, you know, goes by, except with the acceptance of, or the exception rather of, you know, Octavia, Dioza, Echo, Hope, Gabriel, because they spent time on Penance. Like, it's been 2 weeks.
Well, Bellamy spent the Etheria time.
Yeah, Bellamy spent.
Yeah, I mean,
on Etheria,
besides Octavia,
still, I mean,
Dioza.
Okay, but even but Clark's the one who does the action.
Yeah, Clark's the one who does the action. You're 100%
and she
right.
She was on Bardo for a little bit, so you know, maybe
she's like, give me that book. And he's like, no, and she shoots him. And she goes, I did everything I could.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I would argue that what season is it that he's trying to let people in and the bunker. Yeah.
Or
people into the bunker. And she's got this, it's the same exact scenario almost where she's got the gun and he's like, you won't shoot me. And then she starts crying and she doesn't shoot him.
I hate Bellamy, man. Well, cause Kathleen, what you said a little bit like 5 minutes ago, when you said Clark was your favorite character before season 7, Bellamy was my favorite character before season 7.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Murphy and Raven fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Bellamy was on fire at the end of that season, in my opinion. He was the leader of the group outside of making the big-ass decisions with Clark. Like, co-leader of the group, he was just, he felt, he's the heart, right? He felt not like the moral compass, but close to the moral compass. And I just, I fucking love that dude, and he just let me down so much.
I mean, during the rewatch, I love Bellamy even more, like you're saying. Bellamy just, he's just so good.
He has the blip with Pike,
yeah,
but that's it. It literally, it's only, if his stock was the fucking Amazon, like it's a little blip early going, but then other than that, just to the moon, man.
Yeah.
Well, now that you mentioned the blip with Pike, I hate Pike, but I like Pike's character. Mm-hmm. And I was looking through quotes that they had saved, and one of the quotes they have saved from him is him and Bellamy talking. And what Pike says doesn't matter, but Bellamy says to him that, "I wanted to see things like you. I needed that to believe that they were bad and we were good. I don't know what to believe anymore." And that's literally exactly what Echo says about him after he's dead. It's like Belly, when he's still searching for that, you know, how to come to terms with all the shit that they've done. So his character never even got a conclusion on that.
See, I like that though, because for a while, and I still kind of say I wish they fleshed out Echo and Bellamy a little bit more, but I like that she knew that internal struggle of him. I think that's well done, because honestly, they didn't give us enough of those two and their relationship building for me.
I agree with that.
But I will say, and we've been saying it, this is the broken record of Bingetown TV. The lack of Bellamy and Clark gave us these fucking deep bench characters that we just fell in absolute love with, whether it was Murphy rising to the occasion and becoming the top boy, even though he was already a top boy in personality. Now he's like a top boy in the whole thing.
Top
boy. But all the characters that came in 6 and 7 that were not even fucking characters our entire series just blew everyone out of the water and really held their own. In the argument of should it have ended at 5 or 7, I would never give away our 6 and 7 characters. Gabriel, Josephine, Hope, the redemption of Dioza, all of it. It's just
that
love.
Was an answer that I gave that I knew I was fighting an uphill battle. I knew I wasn't going to be able to convince you guys that 6 and 7 weren't worth it, because we got J.R. Bourne, who was fantastic. We got Sarah Thompson, who was fantastic as Josephine. We got so much good shit. We loved the beginning of 7 was fucking fire. Like, we were mind blown at the science that they were getting into, the concepts, how they were giving us specific details about the time dilation. All
amazing.
That shit was so good.
That's my level of sci-fi. That's my sci-fi.
I love it, but they just didn't stick
science,
the landing.
Not God.
Like,
please.
They didn't. they ruined some characters that were more important to me than having those 2 seasons, being Clark and Bellamy. Like, they got ruined at the expense of 6 and 7.
It's hard to say, because I really don't want to give up 6 and 7, but I do technically think the 5 is the better series finale.
Exactly.
See, I think 5 is one of my least favorite seasons in general, so I think that would be ass for me.
I think 5 is better on the binge rewatch.
I watched
1000%. I thought,
bitches, quarantine hits, first thing I did was rewatch 7 seasons of The 100 in like 12 days.
My first watch through, I definitely thought 5 was the worst season.
And that was because probably you're watching it week to week, right?
1000%. Yeah. That was the first season I caught up
to
watch it week to week. But when you binge it again, I love Dioza's character so much. She's phenomenal in that season. Clark sucks. Octavia sucks. Yeah. So I guess that's part of it. Bellamy's good Bellamy in that. Like, he's prime Bellamy.
Octavia does suck for so long.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not think she was going to get redeemed. We were talking about that on the preview for 7. Like, how
is
she going to get redeemed?
That's one of the best things 7 did was it resolved
episode
that.
Episode 2.
It resolved her redemption so perfectly and so quickly.
And her ending was fantastic with the 100%. All of that happening early in the
season.
And
I remember talking about Octavia in our 6 review that we released before we started with episode 1 of 7. And we were talking about this. How is she going to get that redemption, if at all? Maybe she'll just die the bad guy. You know what I mean? And
like Bellamy.
Oh my gosh.
And like Harvey Dent.
Yeah, for real. Two-Face.
You live long enough to become the villain, baby.
Either die a hero or live long enough to become a villain.
Thank you. That's the beginning part of what I tried to do.
While we're kind of going through this theme, we should probably just talk about the ending arcs of some of our main characters. So we kind of already covered Clark enough, and we were just touching on Octavia. If anyone wants to chime in and say about her completed arc, because I think she's probably a top, I would say 3 main character.
I'm just happy that she's happy.
Right.
I agree.
She found love. She found her purpose. Place, dude. Yeah, for real, for real.
The 100 universe is the most hopeless place
yes.
of all time. Truly.
And finally, one of her lovers makes it out alive.
He broke the curse. Our boy Levitt, our boy Jason. Yeah.
Levitt's a good man. She, you know, played such a pivotal role in bringing the human race towards, you know, this higher step and letting them go towards this universal consciousness and kind of ending all of the fighting that has been such a struggle for her since season one, you know, picking a side and doing the things that she did to survive and all that stuff. So I'm just happy at this point that she's happy.
With that speech, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so happy that they put that in there because honestly, it felt like there wasn't really a place for Octavia in the final season after roughly episode 2 and 3, like the Penance Skyring episode. And that made her relevant and it made her feel like a main character again. So that speech was one of the highlights of the finale for me.
So we said in an early Bardo Penance episode, it was mostly Penance. We said it was kind of like a magician's montage and Octavia and Dioza and Hope are growing up and going through this montage. And it's really crazy to me because for me, and like Luke said, going into season 7 in the preview episode, we're like, is Octavia going to be able to redeem herself? For me, her redemption almost wrapped itself up on this montage leading into the speech and the written note in the bottle that she throws in, which evidently gets her and Dioza captured. But she really, at least for her own personal journey, I mean, there's a difference between a personal journey and then having everyone else kind of believe in you as your redemption. So obviously Dioza had been on her side for a while, but Octavia's personal redemption, I believed in her that she was a better person with the bottle. It came full circle in the finale and I loved that goddamn speech, but I'm glad that she got to kind of have those Clark moments, have that Echo moment, even though people didn't really like the mm-hmm. Octavia Echo moment. I don't know. I think they did it so perfectly. They might have done Clark and Bellamy dirty, but Octavia, Murphy, these other Raven, these other main ones, I still think Raven could have gotten a little bit more of her own storyline, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But those three, I mean, they might have done other people dirty, but I mean, they did not do them dirty.
Maybe the worst, like, indirect effect of Bellamy not being in this season really was that the Blakes didn't get a complete ending.
Their ending was Bellamy sandbagging them.
Yeah.
Right. And like, what was, so that was when he sends Clark to MCAP and Octavia's like, brother, no.
Yeah. Like,
blood's thicker than water, James.
A lot of people.
I would never send you to MCAP.
I'm sure I haven't read the books. I can't believe none of us have even attempted to read the books. But I think the books, like the Blakes, are it. Like, they're the main storyline because Clark and Bellamy are more linked. Like, Bellark is a legitimate thing in the books. So yeah. I like to consider that a little bit more closely tied than the show. So I think, like, the Blakes are the spine of the books.
I mean, I would argue that up until season 7, they were in the show for the most, like, not the spine, but they were definitely a huge part.
Mm-hmm. We're going to move on from Octavia. I just want to say that she is, her and Levitt, the only people that have sex this season, right?
In multiple seasons, besides Murphy and Amore, we know they begin.
Well, Clark gave a little money to the
in the beginning of season 6.
Yeah, in the beginning of season six.
Season 7, Octavia is the only one, and by extension, Levitt. She's the only one that has sex, right?
Well, Jordan was trying.
What a
his
season
best,
for her.
Dude.
True.
Jordan was trying his best, dude. And he got cockblocked. So many.
He's times. Not a closer like his dad.
Yeah.
How
right?
much did that Children of Gabriel dude miss out by not just being chill? He could have been Clark for the rest of eternity. God damn.
I like to assume that Murphy and Amore have the healthiest sex life of all time. They are just banging like fucking bunnies. All
definitely.
The time.
John Murphy is definitely an unselfish lover.
You know what's funny?
No, he's selfish, bro.
Not in the bedroom.
I started watching. Okay, so in season 7, I had this weird thought, and it's this. I think Murphy smells so good.
What the fuck?
I was like, he probably smells.
Dude, the people.
Dude, none of them smell good.
Yeah, I was going to say, the people in the 100 until season 7.
You know
seven
what it was?
Smelled like major
it was
shit.
It was the scene in the mind space with Murphy and Amore when he's got that good haircut. They're like at the desert, whatever. And I was like, Murphy probably smells so good.
Yeah, maybe right there
by
in the mind space.
Richard Harmon. But then I started watching an earlier episode for Shakes the other day, and he's like got dreads. And I was like, okay, he's fucking disgusting.
Well, he was, yeah.
But I have a note in an earlier one of my Word documents that just goes, Murphy smells good. And I never said it out loud. I have no idea why. Weirdo. Must have missed it.
I'm shocked that those words just came out of your
mouth. Yeah, can we mute her mic for the next 5 minutes, put her in timeout?
No, we're going to stay on this topic, though. Not Murphy's smell. We should just talk about Murphy and Amore's ending, because I am pretty satisfied with it. I don't know. It was weird that they wanted to go the route where if you're in the mind drive, you still transcend, especially when it came to Amore. It's a cool concept because I just don't really know how that just feels like they were trying to make an ending that was going to be relatively happy, even happier. When those two, them dying together would have been good enough for me.
Yeah,
I didn't need to come back.
I'm glad they did.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, if they transcend so it, they needed to come back.
Listen. Yeah.
But I meant that they didn't need to transcend.
Listen, once you go the transcendence route, I just think that you might as well just give us the happy ending because you're already screwing us over a little bit with this freaking plot.
Goddamn.
I mean, I thought it was a good way to keep the mind drives relevant into season 7 because they really only had a beefy plot point to play in season 6, but they were relevant right till the end. And I think like the laws of it check out, you know, the physics of the universe. Like,
yeah,
if you're in the living body, you should be able to transcend.
Yeah,
I guess.
But Amore wasn't in a living body.
Well, she was in.
She was in Murphy's living body.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Also, that gave us the wonderful Richard Harmon performance.
Yeah,
overlooking Amore's dead body.
Yeah, I still think that there is an argument that, and I don't know. I think that this is an argument that doesn't need to be said, and I'm fine with it.
But he's going to say it anyway.
But I'm going to say it anyway. Like, I still think that there should be thought to the fact that Murphy and Amore chose to come back.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jimmy. I just think that their entire arc was to survive and to not die and go to hell, and that was their one-way ticket, and they didn't take it.
And be together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I talked about this on the finale episode, how that would have been completely contradictory to what I think Murphy's character arc was supposed to be. His character arc was supposed to go from a selfish cockroach to someone who puts Amore before himself, and an extension of that would be putting his friends before himself and choosing an actual life with people that he loved.
See, I disagree.
Eternal.
Do you think they got to consult with each other? Like, yo, are you transcending? It's like, what do you think?
Can you imagine if Amore like came back and Murphy's like, whoa.
That's a very fun exercise we should do.
Yeah.
I think it is. It should be. That takes away from it.
You think it should just be Murphy and Amore, and they like, would have taken the transcendence ticket together to be
I
alive
almost
together?
Think that when, so G- I, when okay. Jimmy brought that to
I can see, though, B-Tom's your argument, because Murphy and Amore, their character arc did start going into the point where they're caring about everyone else. They're caring about other people. So I could accept that they wanted to come back and be with everybody and, you know, live happily ever after until they die. But I just think that it is an argument that needs to be expressed. What, like, do you think that they would have stayed together? Because up until season 7, I would have said, I'm so upset that they didn't, you know, stay, because they definitely, all the way up until season 7, would have stayed together up in Transcendence Land.
Can you imagine the 7 of us, including obviously Paul and Dave, like deliberating on whether we should transcend or not?
Only the like, 7 all right, of us can come back down.
It'd be like a 2-hour podcast special of us just yelling at each other. Seven bunch of whiskey.
Well, Kathleen would be the one. She'd be Clark on Earth, so she's bearing it for us. Do we go
true.
Back?
Yeah,
I'm the evil one of all.
So we got Kathleen back on Earth with Picasso, and then the 6 of us have to decide if we're going to come help her out.
Do you remember how we did the Ben Kilmeri at the end of the last episode, at the end of the finale episode, with all 14 characters that were alive?
Yeah.
I literally was, while we were doing this, typing them out, and I got to 13. I couldn't remember the last one, and it was Raven.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So there you go. We got one more character.
Hot girl, Raven.
I agree with Kathleen when she said that Raven kind of got scraps this season, which is very unfortunate.
I'm really happy that they gave her what they gave her at the end, because the way it was going, it looked like she was just going to be a background character the whole entire season.
It's interesting how they pushed her to a supporting actress when she's obviously beautiful, gorgeous, perfect. But even I would say she's probably like 5 or 6 on the call sheet, right? Like she technically is up there. She's got her name on the theme, like on the intro. I just think that they thought they were doing a lot with her and they were not.
I think that the way 6 and 7 was going, I was watching them live and then I started the rewatch and I actually forgot how important Raven was throughout the first five seasons. It actually made me forget because they have her as such a supporting character in those last two seasons.
So many times Clark would just be like, you need to get this thing fixed or else we all die. And she's like, well, I don't even know anything about this thing. And Clark's like, Raven, get it done. And she dipped.
Yep.
And Raven would fucking get it done every single time. No questions. That was like, yeah. And it was kind of a support role because she killed it and she was never a problem.
Yeah.
She always got her shit done.
Yep.
It felt like, what was Raven's lowest low of the entire series? Would you say that first thing that came to my mind was when she is pouty all the time and she pops the alley
for a little bit.
But she's also the first one when she realizes she can't remember Finn. She's the first one to realize there's an issue. She starts working out, playing loud music, trying to overstimulate.
Okay, I honestly would say that's a high point, especially for Lindsay Morgan. She got such an intense, that was a big storyline. And then she got to be Allie and get EMP'd. But when she was Allie, I thought that was incredible acting.
Right before she takes the tab is her worst, because that's when she's negative enough to be.
Okay, you're talking about character, but even so, I would like to bring to the table that I would rather Raven be struggling with an actual storyline than her just being cast aside and then being like, well, we do kind of have this genius, gorgeous girl we can bring into the plot and have her fix it whenever we want, but we're not going to give her an actual
story. So you're talking about when she's like writing wise useless.
Exactly. I'm saying that would be her lowest point, and I would say that's probably five when she's just like tinkering with motorcycles in Sanctum.
With the prime.
Who interpreted that as like what was her worst point as like being the most side character, farthest away from the action? I took it as when was she at her like emotional lowest? Is that what you meant?
And I agree with you.
Okay, never mind.
More that way, like where I thought as an audience member where I was like, Raven sucks right now, which she never did. But I'm saying, what point did you feel the most to say that?
I don't know if I ever did, except for when she's the side character.
My only gripe with Raven, I never cared, even when she was struggling. I loved it. I wanted her to get more screen time, and that's what the point I'm trying to get across.
Yeah,
season five, Shaw was her thing.
And then six, she's just like tinkering with motorcycles.
Season five, she had a good amount of stuff to do.
She had to convince. Yeah, she did a lot. She was the one who, in the beginning, she started on the prison ship with Murphy, right? Yep. And they had to hold all the criminals.
That Clark reunion was
leverage.
Good for me on the radio.
It's been a while since I did season five, but that was when she was with Abby, who was going under her drug addiction.
Ooh,
and
that's
Abby
good
like
too.
Put the collar on her and completely fucked her over.
Well, Abby sucked. Abby all the way, pretty much. I did not like Abby's character since like season. I don't really think I liked her much at all.
She was never close to the best characters.
No, she's just really hot.
Shut the fuck up.
Mil.
She is not.
Kathleen knows.
Abby's best scenes are the finale when it's not her.
I don't disagree. She really annoyed me in seasons one and two, which are the only ones fresh in my mind, so bear with me here. But she would constantly, once she became chancellor and got the power and Kane was there, clearly just a much more capable leader, and Jaha came back a much more capable leader. She kept sticking to her guns and is like, I'm sorry, I'm the chancellor by title, we're doing it my way. And she just made mistake after mistake.
Wow, I love these takes because I totally disagree. First of all, what a like power issue when obviously the juvenile delinquents get sent down against their will, right? So now we spend a whole season with them
learning
almost
and
being like, they're in charge, they're holding it the fuck down, they're 17 years old.
This whatever they want.
Abby and Kane, whatever they want. Abby and Kane come down, they're like, nah, we got it. And our kids are like, boy, bye. Like,
you
no shot.
Remember that scene. Kane just comes in and says, don't worry, we're here now.
Because
like, get out of here,
it's
loser.
Specifically when Finn and Bellamy are left over and Finn starts beating up Murphy, and then Kane's like, send them, put like, shackle them up, and it's like, dude, Murphy tried to kill so many fucking people. Please, it's such a good power struggle.
And I want to
that was Murphy's blip.
And I want to take back when I said Jaha would be a more capable leader, because when he came back, he was not in the mind space to be a capable leader, because he was kind of going crazy. But Kane definitely, and my biggest gripe before I pass it over to you is that she kept on trying to keep Clark in shackles and like protect her at all times, always. And Clark was like, fuck this bitch. I'm going to go
Clark with Maddie.
And
it does, which love is what that. I was also going to say. I kind of do like the parallels that they finally got back to at the end of season 7, where Clark's like, oh my God, is this what Abby had to go through?
It's also funny because that's the moment around the time that we said we started to not like Clark. Because she's acting like Abby.
100%.
Fair enough, yeah.
So, I mean, I totally see what you're saying.
Damn, this is fucking fun rehashing it.
I didn't know how many emotions this was going to turn up.
Maybe a little wine buzz, but who knows?
I do want to mention that I think a moment where Raven is definitely at her emotional low, or at least one of them, an honorable mention, is definitely when Finn dies.
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah,
because she is like screaming, Clark. Like yeah. No, I mean she turns around quickly because she sees the death by 1,000 cuts, and she's like, oh okay, well it's better that you kill him that
family.
Way. But when he dies,
well, can you imagine? We were worrying so much about what Raven was going to be like after the Hatch thing. We're like, oh, we got like 6 episodes of Raven being depressed and down and nothing. Yeah, and she really bounced back in one episode. She just let
no payoff there, in my opinion, because the Nikki scenes were garbage.
She let Nikki beat the shit
payoff.
Out of her.
Although payoff the payoff there. Is, and we commended them a couple times, that they still had Raven getting significant character growth in season 7 mm-hmm. with the whole understanding of Clark and the pressure of being the person that pulls the lever. Raven, that finally clicked with her.
Right,
and for a couple seasons before that, she was like, Clark, what are you doing?
I just hate the Nikki.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only redeemable moment in Nakara, was her and Clark's.
Honestly, the Nikki stuff does piss me off, because they were just wrong to write her like that at the end. Just they could have taken the character out completely. Hatch could have been his only character, and she could have died, and she could have just...
I will say another complaint I had about just speaking of the Nakara episode was... that this, I was a little annoyed with the stone just being in the monster's stomach, but they cleared that up later when they actually lifted the fucking stone in the stone bone throne room.
Right.
Love that.
Stone bone
throne.
What I'm talking about.
It's a shame because, to be completely honest, season 7 did so many good things. And like we're saying, most of the stuff we're talking about, what's the character arcs, is such good shit. But because of the Transcendence thing and because of the Clark and Bellamy thing, it just sours the whole season.
Yeah, we were raving about the show 6 episodes in. And our only gripe was, we need more Clark and Bell, but like the side characters are killing it. Right?
Yeah.
What was that turning point? You said episode 6. I remember it being around then. It was before Etheria, wasn't it? Or was it Etheria?
Yeah, it would have had to been before. Our anger just kept growing. It started as just an annoyance, like, yeah, the show's killing it, but I need more Clark and Bell. And then around episode 10, we were just like, honestly, like, they're not going to be able to tie all the loose ends with this much time left without more Clark and Bellamy. And then Etheria comes, and we're like, okay, so that's Bellamy.
I want to jump in and say, I thought 7 was incredible, but it took until Etheria for my... Ah, shit, they're really not going to turn this around, huh? Like, that's when it was. Up until then, because you got to remember, one of them was fully the prequel. And then up until then, I mean, Nakara was the only one that was like, that wasn't great, but I'll take a Clark and Raven moment any day. And like, that was when we get some of the stupid ass, like, get the flock out. I don't even think that was that, but just some bad lines. But Nakara was probably the only poorly... I don't even want to say poorly written. It's just one that I didn't care about, but I still liked it because it's our characters. I'm like, yeah, bring it on.
Just so happened to be at the time Clark and Raven with a lot of expendable people. Now, I don't want to say Miller and Jordan. You know, we love
they're
we ended
expendable.
Up, yeah, we,
well, that butthole could have clenched them
side,
to death for
those
all
are
I care.
And
that was our thing know, where we were both. Like, if they're going to kill someone, they should probably kill someone right here, and they just didn't. And it was kind of weird. There's also cheesy lines, and it was just a weird episode, but. We know that it was important because the talk with Raven and Clark was important because it has to do with the finale now.
If that's the only thing you're getting from an episode is one freaking conversation.
And it's a second Dawn reveal.
Yeah.
We knew that though. We'd be calling that.
But I definitely think that Etheria was a turning point for it. Cause I remember us leading into that Etheria being like, there's no way they can just give us a full Bellamy episode like just one full Bellamy episode, because we don't have time for that shit. And then they gave us a full Bellamy episode, and then they introduced the whole Bill is in his vision shit, and we were like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, Etheria happened, and we had so much stuff to say about it, and the problem was that we were still hoping. We were like, God, yeah, it'll still be a simulation. It could be something.
That was me, you, and Luke just waxing poetic for like 25 minutes after the episode ended, just like shooting the shit about what the hell's going to happen.
We had no parents on that episode, so we just kept going.
I love that. All right, guys, before we jump into our questions, this is technically the last time we're going to fully talk about season 7. So do you guys have anything else to say before we jump into some cool stuff?
My last thought, I don't know if they knew where they were going when they ended season 5, which was book 1. I don't know how many seasons Jason in his head planned ahead, but I really love the wrap-in with the whole second Dawn Cult. I was a huge fan of Bill as a villain. I mean, I even loved the anticlimactic end that he had, and I'm really happy that that was a huge part of it, especially with the whole level 12 all through season 4 with the bunker and stuff, and then as well as the level 12s of Bardo. Like, all of that was so good and tied in. It felt grounded in the... in what the seeds that they planted. But Jimmy, you pretty much convinced me. I can't step away from it. I just think the Transcendence came out of nowhere. The seeds weren't planted early enough, but it was good enough. And I thought the character endings for 90% of them, not counting Bellamy and sort of not counting Clark, were really satisfying to me. And I fucking love the show. The show will always be one of my favorites forever. Fuck yeah.
Well, you said it, Luke.
I totally agree with you, Luke. I fucking love this show.
Okay. And real quick, though, I just want to say with the Transcendence thing, it does make the prequel a little silly, but at the same time, I'm watching.
Yeah,
and we're all watching.
Gonna watch
silly.
And we're going to cover it.
Okay. I'm not giving you much time to think about this. Hottest guy on 3.
In the entire series?
Entire series.
That's freaking takes a little bit of
Give
time.
Give me a second. Hold on.
I'm good.
Oh, I'm like debating, yo. There's some.
I just settled on one, and I was like, "Yeah, that works."
There's some handsome ass guys. I don't want to think about it too much. Just let me go.
Actually, is he even that good looking?
On 3, let's not do on 3 because on 3 you can't tell what we're saying.
Okay, fine.
Go down the line.
I don't know. I don't want it to change anyone's opinion. I want to hear the hot takes.
It's funny.
No, let's do it on 3. 3, 2, 1.
Lincoln.
Oh, Levitt is the answer.
No.
I said Finn.
Lincoln.
That was insane.
Lincoln's
it's Levitt.
I said Lincoln.
Jimmy and Kyle said Lincoln. What'd you say?
I fucking said Miller, dude.
Miller's a
good looking dude.
I said J.R. Bourne, actually.
I said Levitt. Who did you say? You said Finn?
I said Finn, but I mean Levitt. I forgot. Oh, my God. Jason, you're the hottest for sure, dude.
B-Sums, I love that you said Miller, and you landed on your name so quickly. And you were like, yeah.
Is he really that hot?
Is he really that hot?
I was just scrolling through, like, in my brain, who are the guy characters on The 100? What do I think of these people?
It's because we talk about the girl so often.
Yeah, I was going through the names. I'm like, Bellamy, is he that? And I landed on Miller. I'm like, yeah, I could live with that.
Levitt was the first person my mind went to, and I couldn't find someone better.
He's the okay, Levitt. You are the most textbook handsome. That is for damn sure.
Coolest guy too.
Coolest guy. If I'm gonna answer it, which is just not true, it's gonna be Murphy. But Lincoln. That's just not true. I just love him so much. I love Richard Harmon. He's not the most handsome, but he is to me. Because I'm
I don't know, man. I like Lincoln.
Should we do girl?
Is that your other rapid fire?
That's
question?
My two rapid fire.
Hottest guy and girl. That's
hottest
the best
guy,
you can come
girl.
Up with.
I'm so superficial. Okay, hottest girl. All right,
I'm ready.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Josephine.
Raven.
Josephine's a great answer.
Wait,
damn
so
it.
We got
He's better.
Raven.
No.
Raven.
Lexa.
Lexa, Josephine. Okay. I was close to saying, honestly, Clark. Josephine was easily the first
Between
person I thought
Raven,
of.
Raven, Lexa, and Clark, I just can't. But honestly, Josephine is...
Dude, do you know who else is Murphy's real life girlfriend is beautiful.
Oh my god, Antari.
Antari, that was a thought too.
Great looking cast. You guys are beautiful. Yeah. We love you all, truly.
Kathleen and Lexa, are you Calexa? Are you Clexa? Are you Cathlexa?
Cathlexa, because you can't do Clexa.
Yeah, but Calexa.
Yeah, it's too close.
Nah, you're Lex Lean.
Lex Lean. Yeah.
That's like all right.
Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
now that we're
like a super villain.
Now that we're done right going now. Through a little bit of our thoughts at the end of the characters and some of their conclusions and also season 7 as a whole, we're just going to go through the rapid fire questions that we ask pretty much everyone we've interviewed so far just to spark some discussion. We'll see where that takes us. I'll start it off and just simple. What was everyone's favorite season?
Two.
Mount Weather killed it.
I always say two. I'm trying to change it, but I can't. Two.
I also say two. Kyle?
Yeah, two.
I think four is going to come really close when I rewatch it, but two was money.
You know,
that was dude, two through four, the storylines, the plot lines, the conflicts, the deaths are amazing.
I don't even have a problem with my rewatch with one. I just still think
I loved
really
one.
Good.
And the
one was
one
better
too.
On a rewatch.
Yeah.
100% was better on the rewatch.
I don't want to brag, but I'm the first one who watched The 100 on this squad. And I remember because a girl I grew up dancing with, she's a little older than me, was a writer for the show. And she used to like tweet about it and whatever it was. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stick it out. And I can remember Twitter DMing her because I don't know her at all. And being like, as soon as Charlotte and Wells die, it changes the game. Yep. It's truly like a corny CW show in the beginning. And of course, like I said before, it's so nice watching these kids grow up on this show and become incredible actors because they were good in season one, but they're incredible by season seven. They build their it's awesome. But I remember every time I suggest the show to somebody, especially back then in the day, I said, give it four episodes, four
definitely,
and you'll be soaked in.
Definitely hit me with that when I started.
Specifically remember the feelings I had at the end of season one when in the finale episode, Clark wakes up and it's just all these white.
It's so jarring.
Lights,
it's awesome.
Right? I'm thinking, what the fuck? Where are we going? I'm already in for the mystery of what Mount Weather actually was, and because she sees Mount Weather written on the wall. And season two just did everything right. It made you care about every character in every situation. You loved the characters that weren't even trapped in Mount Weather because they were dealing with the political thing you brought up earlier with Kane and Abby trying to take control because now they're on Earth. But we also have them both trying to push them aside and say, we know what we're doing here. We've been here for a while. We got to go save our friends at Mount Weather. Plus all the high stakes of the people trapped in Mount Weather who were on a time limit.
Oh, my God.
With
incredible.
The bone marrow shit that they were going to start taking.
Dude, Jasper
the villains,
stepping up as a leader.
Also, the head. I forget his name. You might remember either of you two.
Kate?
Dante. Oh, okay. He was the head of the Mount Weather people and was so fantastically written because he wasn't pure evil like his son Cage.
Yeah.
He was reasonable, but at the same time cared a lot about his people, but also didn't want to compromise his human morality. It was just, I can't preach it enough. Season two is the best.
Well said.
Fuck.
You can't even forget that Echo comes in season two in the cages.
Yeah.
That's so early on.
I forgot.
Me too. Anya's that early thing too. She gets rescued from the cages with Clark. I loved that. That's great. Okay. Can we also talk about how Shelby picked Maya as her favorite character? Like, and everything. That was such a dark horse pick.
Shelby, Flannery, actor for Hope, said her favorite character in the rapid fire questions was Maya.
Yeah, and that's a hot take. That's a hot take. So I always thought that Maya ruined Jasper. So I always kind of held like a you're annoying to me kind of thing. But once you said that, I thought back on it, and she was a really good character. And again, it always in The 100, it always comes back to everyone's the protagonist of their own story. I've said this myself 18 times if I had a fucking nickel. But it is incredible because Maya, they've been living this sweet, sweet life. The 100 people come in to every season and they fuck up everything and they kill everybody.
Yeah.
And you can't really fault Maya for that. And I did like the love story between Jasper and Maya. I honestly think it's an insane
a little bit hot takey, but I thought maybe you two can attest to this even more. I thought Jasper, I liked him significantly more on my rewatch than I did the first time around. By the end of the first time around, I thought he was the worst character of the entire show. But on the rewatch, not that I I understood where his point of view was coming from, but I just liked him more. I guess I did really get where he was going, but
he's a great character until he's not. I mean,
honestly, when you say Maya ruined Jasper, I would say Clark ruined Jasper. I mean, it just depends.
Dude, she had to pull that lever, baby.
But Jasper, if you're in Jasper's mind space, he thought he was finishing it. He thought he was gonna kill Cage. And it was going to be done, and then Clark pulls the lever and kills the love of his life. I mean, what would you do if you were Jasper, Kathleen? Would you be pissed at Clark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm never mad at Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be pissed like Jasper is, and let it ruin my life and everybody's life around me. But yeah, I'd be a little pissed.
All right. So the next question we have here, and this one could be a little bit of a quicker one. What is everybody's favorite specific episode?
Okay. I like have one off the top of my head. It might not be actual, but I love the Hunger Games style episode of Prime Fire season four.
Conclave?
Conclave episode.
That was going to be
incredible.
Really?
Yeah. That was going to be mine.
I remember watching that live and being like, holy shit, that was amazing. That blew my mind live.
That was my runner up.
Oh, what's your first one? What's your actual one?
Well, that's season four, episode 10, Die All, Die Merrily. My actual one is Spacewalker when she kills Flynn. Mm. I mean, Flynn.
From Breaking Bad?
When she kills Finn. That episode, I would say, is probably my favorite.
That is a really good episode.
That's
too.
A really good one. The
love
the
that
Finn
story.
Yeah, the Finn Raven flashbacks are amazing in that episode.
Because you think that he went spacewalking. That they call him Spacewalker. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I took the basic answer because I thought this was going to be everyone's answer. But I thought season 4, 13 or 16. I always forget. 13 Prime Fire. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite episode.
What specifically do you like about Prime Fire?
Everything. I really like it's our first actual time skip towards the end as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess it's really, in my opinion, the end of Clark being the best
mm-hmm.
because like Maddie gets introduced and all that. The stakes are just incredibly high the entire time. You're on the literal edge of your seat. It's just the best episode.
Prime Fire was probably my runner up. My favorite, I think it was a two-parter, but Blood Must Have Blood. I think that's season two.
Yeah.
The finale.
Yeah,
where Lexa betrays them. And then
yeah, and it's mm-hmm. just the whole rising climax. And then you think, oh my gosh, we got Tree Crew or, oh my gosh, all the tribes together. We're going to take on Mount Weather and just ruin their day. And then it all comes crashing down in front of their face. And Clark just like stands there and is like, nah, this is not over by any means. And then just our homies take care of business as they always
That's
do.
That's the Liverpool, in my opinion.
Oh, big time.
It didn't even have the highest stakes, but it felt like that's the first Liverpool I think of when I think of the show. Next one we got here is favorite main character. And you know what I mean by main. Like, they mm-hmm. had to have lasted until the end, pretty much. And I'll also count Bellamy in that group. And, you know, the main
You have
characters.
To count Bellamy in that group. Okay, are you saying full character arc where they ended up? Favorite
yes,
character?
When the series ended, who your favorite character, main character was?
Your favorite binge crew.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%. I'll go first. I'm not going to say Clark, even though technically, when you do the weighted moving average, it's Clark. Out of all the seasons, all the episodes, all the minutes, it's Clark. But I'm going to say Murphy because besides season one, he is unwaveringly just a fucking incredible character growth. I don't think they ever wavered on him. He's so cool. He's so funny. He stayed true when some of our other characters maybe didn't. Murphy all the way.
Yeah, I agree. Murphy is also my favorite. I've talked this episode, the finale episode, about how I like how they completed his story arc as a character. And I think, yeah, he's a scumbag in season one, but he needed being a scumbag so that he could have so much growth. And he killed it. Yeah, he not all the time was he a part of the main plot. Like, a lot of times he's doing his own thing aside from what Clark and Bellamy have going on, but I'm always interested in what he's doing in the background. Like, when he was with Jaha chasing the City of Light, I was interested in that because it was Murphy,
right?
And because it was Jaha, who I also absolutely loved. But Murphy,
I honestly would go with Murphy for pretty much everything you guys said, but there is some things to be said about Octavia, because I think that Octavia, she's like the sneaky main character. Like, you know, her trajectory from the first episode all the way to season 7. I know that we had the whole season 5 debacle, but I think that they nailed the landing for her, but I still would go Murphy.
I'm going to back up everything Jimmy just said. Yeah, I really want to say Octavia, but I know that's not me not being true to myself, and over 7 seasons, it has to be Murphy.
Yeah.
And that's the same answer that I would have said about Clark or Raven. Like, I want to put them as my favorite character, but it's legitimately Murphy.
Yahtzee, that's
a,
Murphy,
that is a full
baby.
Sweep. And that, we did not plan that at
no,
all.
No, we did not.
And that's
but
great because we've brought up asking about Richard Harmon to every single person we've interviewed
yeah,
on this
that's
show.
That's honestly insane of us.
And
we're like, what
it makes
about
sense.
Richard Harmon?
It makes sense. He was just so he was so lovable, and it just he was the perfect mix of being badass. And
that boy is electric.
He's just the best. Murphy was the best. So let's get to the more interesting one of what your favorite side character is. And this counts as anybody outside of Binge Crew of the entire series.
Yeah.
I have some good answers here.
I know my answer.
I know your answer. Who do you have, Kyle, as your favorite side character? And you're probably going to say Monty, but...
Can we have two?
Yeah, take two because you're saying Monty.
I want to take two because I want to say Monty and Gabriel.
Okay, you also need to provide a long shot, you know it's going to be a unique answer. Because I got an answer for that one.
I want to say Kane.
Kane, that's
Kane,
a good one.
Kane's okay. A great
yeah.
one.
Yeah. I'm going to say Kane.
All right, so we're going to put you down for Monty and Kane. And we'll
no Gabriel.
A little side piece with Gabriel too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, B-Toms, what do you got?
Becca Franco.
That's a hot answer, baby.
Number one with a bullet, dude.
I was going to guess that for you because of how you were just doing it on the Apocalypse episode, how much you loved her. So I was going to guess that.
Dude, she was Raven before Raven. I don't know. Becca Franco just... Yes, she was
damn,
awesome.
Man,
I just
you
love,
changed my mind because I like Becca more
dude,
than Gabriel.
I just love,
Gabriel was my answer.
Yeah, man. I love her. She's awesome. She's like brilliantly smart. She's so calm, cool, collected, has a decent moral compass as we see, is like trying to better humanity with everything she's trying to do, use her knowledge for good. And she is kind of a martyr because Bill puts her to the stake and kills her, and she had a terrible ending, but she is my favorite character. And I love that they gave us a Becca Franco episode with the prequel episode in season 7.
Can I
give me the long shot though? Also,
long shot,
just a character that could be in like 4 to 5 episodes or maybe dies early, one of those kind of characters that no one would answer.
You can think on it if you don't have one.
You look like a Charlotte guy.
Oh gosh.
Charlotte? Oh, stop, dude. Get out of here right now.
I'm gonna go back on tags because I thought Becca Franco was, I remember in season 7 when they show her in on the screen, I was like on the iPad that shouldn't have gone through the anomaly. I was like, holy shit, I did not know I needed that. So Gabriel saying I had such a crush on her. Shut the fuck up. I think that they were so smart, and I would like to know the contract that actress had because they brought her in, and every time she was on screen, she was phenomenal. That's not who I was going to say, but what an incredible answer by you, Tags.
Your boy has his long shot. And I just watched the part of the series that he was in, and I hope I'm not taking yours. It is Wick.
Fuck, that was mine.
Yeah, I knew it, dude. And I completely forgot about
him. He's a handsome, goofy man. I like him too.
Yeah, but he's the long
shot.
He
had issues as an actor.
He was great,
but...
and he was.
No, you're not allowed to say him, dude.
He was. He
no,
was
I agree. Though
100% the best significant other that would have given Raven a happy ending.
There
I think
is
he was
a
the
chance,
best.
A legitimate chance that he could have gone seasons and seasons through the show. If
yeah,
he didn't mess
he
up.
He was
in
just
life.
A guy, Raven. Like they were just two very, very smart
Love
people that were kind of digging
Damn it,
each other.
I hate you.
Wick's a good one.
He was goofy too. He was great. He would have been Binge Crew if.
I wish I had more time to think about this. But my answers might seem pretty basic. But Becca's amazing one. My long shot is Josephine, because she's absolutely incredible, and I think that I've said it before, she would have absolutely wreaked havoc on our characters and just laughs, sadness, all of it, good stuff. But I have three supporting actresses and all three girls, and you're just gonna have to deal with it. Lexa, duh, I don't have to say it. Indra is another favorite
good.
Supporting.
That's really good.
No explanation needed. And Hope was my favorite addition to season 7. I think
nice.
Hope is just she added something to 7 that I didn't know I needed, and I fell in love with her right away, and you just listen to the rest of them to hear.
I'm like literally just staring into space right now because I'm just thinking.
That's a lot of choices, man.
I mean, I would love to say J.R. Bourne because I love him so much, but I don't think Shade Hate as a character is my favorite. My long shot is King Roan.
Oh, amazing.
That's a good one.
Good
yeah, I flirted with that.
I'm going to set him in general. Like, I freaking That's love good.
Him. I'm happy we're all bringing someone new up.
Yeah. And then I think my side character would be, honestly, Lincoln. I just really love the Lincoln.
He's so good. Yeah. Ricky Whittle was really
he
good.
He got robbed.
He did. We don't know the background information, though. But...
I got to watch season 3 and 4 because you tell me that Lincoln is great, except for his one blip, which is sandbagging Bellamy at Mount Weather and taking
for
the drugs.
Serum. Yeah,
I'm so pissed at him for that. Yeah. I got to keep watching.
No, see, I
wonder
think,
if he gets
okay.
Better.
That's not his fault.
Dude, it's totally his fault.
It was.
No,
his
he's
fault.
An addict,
he
baby.
Beat it at that point,
yeah,
yeah, but plan. Yeah, but you're always
it when
you're
fault. When it's right in front of you.
Yeah. It was his fault.
My favorite side character, maybe it's recency bias, but Gabriel. I just love his take on science and just wonderment and just learning new things. And there's nothing that you guys kind of already talked about.
When Gabriel lit up, we lit up.
Yeah, he was a beast. See, the only thing I hated that he ever did was that I still don't agree. The process over outcome, I don't agree with the process of when he gave up everyone on Bardo and they whatever.
I thought you were going to say when he shot the flame.
So my side character, Longshot, was going to be Wick, but I'm going to pivot here because B-Toms took that. I will say Sinclair was one of my favorites. Nice. And Sinclair was just the perfect blend between a genius mentor to Raven, who is one of my favorite characters, mm-hmm. and he was just so smart and needed on the arc, on Earth, all around, with a blend of smooth. Like he was quick and witty, and he was willing to sacrifice anything for Raven herself and just all the people he care about. So fucking loved Sinclair. He was a great character.
This is the best question of the night so far.
Yeah. Yes. And I feel cheap with Kane as my long shot. So because he's not really a long shot.
Really?
So I'll take
actually think one. That's an amazing
I'll take
long
Nelson.
Shot.
I'll take Nelson.
Yeah.
That's Kyle. Right there.
That's a
yeah.
hot
choice.
You said
Abby and Nelson as your two
honestly,
favorite side characters. I'd be like, that's Kyle.
My long shot was gonna be Jer. But
oh,
I got a okay. long shot. I got 3 long shots. Their names are X, Y, and Z.
True.
Talk about a long shot.
Hell yeah.
All right. A couple more here, and I think we're
no
all going to have.
Hatch, 9 for
we're
one
definitely going to all have the same answer for this. I mean, if you don't
on
have.
On 3, before he even asks.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, J.R. Bourne.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite acting performance? Who
Kane.
Doesn't say J.R.
Of all
J.
7
Bourne?
Seasons or just this season?
All 7.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to differ. I'm saying Clark. I think Eliza
Clark?
Taylor had. And Jason himself said it. We said it on in episode 15 when he came on. They're. Even in that episode when Maddie's dying, she had to do 15 takes of her just sobbing over Maddie. How many scenes has that bitch have to do?
J.R. Bourne could have done it in one take.
I agree. I totally agree.
Okay. I totally agree, but I'm gonna not say J.R. Bourne only because I know that he is obviously the best actor of the crew, but my girl did it for 7 motherfucking seasons.
He doesn't have to be necessarily
over and over. And over again.
You don't have to say he's the best actor, just the best acting performance.
Okay, and then I want to do an honorable mention because our boy Richard Harmon shows the fuck up for his scenes.
He does. I agree with that.
I just did not think we were. I mean, we're all kind of on the same page. J.R. Bourne slayed.
Oh yeah,
he's the best.
Okay, we have 2 more here. Favorite villain. Whole series, and I could start because I kind of already thought this one out a little bit. My first initial answer was going to be Pike because the way he gets characters to react to him and how he changes the storyline is amazing, but he's a close second. My first is going to be Allie.
Yeah,
I
that's
loved
nice.
Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was just pure AI. There was no emotion involved. She was just one-track minded, and she links to Becca. She's the arc of the back. I said this again, the backbone of the story pretty much just all started with Becca Franco. And as a result, Allie, she was just fantastic and terrifying.
Totally.
Allie is a really good answer. I'm trying to think. Kyle, jump in.
I'm going to say Pike. I mean, Luke did a little bit, but he just comes in season 3 and is a fucking tsunami. Like, we all loved season 2 so much. And it was kind of like, okay, this is the peak of the show. Where do we go from here almost? And Pike was such a pivotal part of making season 3, probably my second favorite season. And like Luke said, I mean, just the way the characters work off of Pike was just amazing. I mean, what he does to all of them. I mean, Indra, Bellamy, Clark, Kane, and Abby. I mean, Kane against Pike season 3 before Kane gets chipped and stuff was awesome. I mean, Kane is just the way that Kane philosophizes trying to change Pike's mind, in my eyes, was a reason basically why I said that Kane was one of my favorite side characters.
Yeah, Pike made me like Kane a lot because of their contrasting views. But
I just want to say on the Allie side that I like that the 100 is constantly doing things that are challenging its actors and giving them something new to do. So any time that Allie took over somebody, they had a completely new persona to take over. And I just think that was cool. Like I said before, it was really amazing to watch Lindsay Morgan be Allie. Anyone else, Abby, all of them who were taken over. I think that's a really cool thing for the actors. I mean, they just got to every season they got to change their persona and be something new. I think that's great.
Who is your favorite villain?
Allie.
Oh, word. Cool.
Yeah,
I kind of have two. The first one, because I've said already, I love season two. I really liked Dante, and he may not fall completely into the villain role because Cage was really the villain of that. Dante was kind of like chaotic neutral, dare I say. But he was just there to back his people, and he was actually a pretty firm-handed but just leader. And then Cage stages the coup to overthrow him, completely fumbles the bag, and comes crying back to Dante, and Dante says, look what a mess you made in 3 days. Like, enemies are at our door, gonna take down our defenses. I'm gonna clean up this mess for you.
That was so satisfying.
Yeah, he prioritizes his people, and he knows, like, he has no choice. He knows what he's doing is about to be wrong, and that he is on the bad side of things, but it's this whole prioritizing your people over everything else, and he did that. Just didn't work out for him. And even till the end, he was doing that at gunpoint. Clark didn't want to have to shoot him, but he is insisting Cage to like stay the course. And it was a well-written villain, I think. My honorable mention would be Dioza season 5.
Specifically, because she's not a villain after that.
Correct. Well, she's...
I can't believe none of us mentioned Dioza as a side character favorite.
Yeah,
I honestly... She'd be up there.
I mentioned her as I'm glad we got 6 and 7 to get her redemption. That's 100%. Pretty much it.
I go Allie and Pike, but I think if we're doing some long shots, just because we want to get weird here, I think Murphy in season 1 was
ooh,
awesome.
love to hear that.
I did like to hate him in the beginning. Very, very beginning.
And also Kane in season 1, because you don't like Kane in the beginning.
I think that Murphy season 1 is an amazing answer. He is the villain. Like, there's the episode when they're sick after Murphy comes in with the sickness and he fucking murders that guy, that kid. What a fucking loser,
and when
dude.
He's trying to kill Jasper.
What
the whole
did the
time?
Kid do to him, though? The kid wanted
the kid
to
is
hang
one
him?
Of the ones that hung him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fuck that kid.
All right. Go ahead. This is one of my favorite because we can get freaky with this one.
The last question in our true Ben Kill Mary fashion in a wacky version is this. If you could have had two characters marry each other in the series, any two characters bang each other in the series, and any two characters kill each other or one kill the other, not kill each other at the same time, who would it be?
I think I got this one already. Go ahead. I just rattled off all
that three. Was insane. You watched, you were staring me in the eye and typing on your computer. That was so scary.
Yeah, I'm killing it. So my bang each other, I want Raven and Levitt because they're just two beautiful people.
Sure.
Let them be happy. Have some just stupid hot sex. Mary, Becca, and Gabriel because that just makes sense. They're both kind of very smart, rational thinking people. They're both like good hearted. They're good, smart people. I would like them to get married to each other. Plus, Gabriel had the crush on her. Love Gabriel. I would love that for him. Kill. I would say I want Indra to kill Shade Hada because she refused to do it like 18 times during season 7.
I mean, she did kill him.
Oh, yeah, she did eventually. Okay, well, let's go back to the kill. My God.
I mean, she literally.
Wow.
I want Jaime to kill Cersei.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, fair enough.
The hard part is honestly thinking of the banging.
Yeah, just like two people who maybe never got to do it up.
I'm just trying to think. I'm usually like super into the sexual attention.
Me too, but there wasn't like many near misses.
Yeah,
it's like they
I can't think
of
a ton.
Get fucking freaky. Get
like, oh, I got it. I got it. I got mine.
Okay, give me.
Do you have all three or just the bang one?
I got all three. All right. So from Marion, I'm gonna do Clark and Lexa.
Oh, you stole that from me.
Because
come on, son.
Clark's been pulling levers, and she just deserves some fucking love.
Yeah,
and bringing Lexa back from the dead to create Clexa again, I think would be nice. Banging my boy Jordan and Hope.
Yeah,
baby.
You want to talk sexual tension?
They deserve that.
Yeah, I almost wanted to make them my Mary, but I wanted to put Clark in there. And then for Kill, I want Lincoln to kill Pike.
Nice.
I almost had that one. I got some right here. All right, I'm going to go reverse order. So what I want for the kill is almost with the knowledge of the end of the series, I would have loved if Becca killed Bill.
Ooh.
In the bunker, like, ooh, when they were doing that. That would have been a satisfying fucking kill.
That is incredible, Luke. That's fucking incredible.
And the lack of the Shepherd we've talked about on this podcast, I feel he needed to mention anyway.
Yeah.
So for Bang, I'm going to have Clark Bang Bellamy.
Oh.
we're gonna throw a little Bell Arc seed out there because I think it would have been an entertaining storyline, of course. And I know everyone was banging their fists on the table for that to be Endgame, but I would have loved for that to be one of the mid seasons kind of, you know, storylines. That would be really good for me.
You talk about sexual tension.
I said Clark Bangs Bellamy. And then for the Mary, this would have been an early Mary that would have had to happen. I would have wanted probably around season two, Jasper and Octavia to marry and end up together because I think they both would have saved the other character from sucking at parts.
Yeah.
Jasper would have gone down that route of, you know, Maya, and Octavia might have, how they hinted at Octavia and Jasper in season one, early season one, I was all in. I thought that was my initial impression of a relationship that was going to happen on the show because that's kind of what they set it up to be. And I just thought that would have been amazing. Especially now we know that Octavia becomes Blood Reina because of the path she takes. So those are my answers.
I want to change my kill answer to Indra killing Shade Hada in the first scenario where she should have rationally killed him.
In the makeshift conclave, right?
Yeah, where she just locks him in the room with 12 puny disciples and says, they'll get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Even earlier than that.
Right.
Please.
I guess
I almost want to change my kill because Octavia kills Pike and that was satisfying. But
yeah, that was satisfying.
What was your kill, Kai?
I wanted Lincoln to kill Pike.
Okay.
I want Maddie to have killed Shade Hada.
Amazing that answer. Good. Damn
I think
it.
That they didn't give her any enough badassery after doing my rewatch and seeing how badass she actually was when she was younger. Mary would be Jackson and Miller.
Okay.
Let them live happily ever after because I love those bros. And Banging. It's just so hard because I agree that I want Jordan and Hope to just get that money. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
My kill's lame, but I'll go first. And okay, obviously my Mary is going to be, would be Clark and Lexa. But since Kyle already said that, I'm not going to say that. So I'm going to say this in a world where Lexa is already RIP passed. Rest in paradise, my girl. Clark and Bellamy, just for the fans out there, you know, I would have loved to see that end game if they could have written it correctly. And I believe that would have satisfied me in a way, you know. I think Clark ended up with neither Maddie nor Lexa nor Bellamy. And I think that is kind of sad. But I think Clark and Guy are together right now, so they'll be whatever. Clark and Bellamy for Mary. My bang is Raven, Amori, and Murphy threesome.
Wow. We could do threesomes?
You cheated.
I did not say threesomes didn't count.
No, you said two people. That's what you said.
You said
I allow it.
Because I was going to say that too, because there's so many people that wanted that.
Murphy and Amori.
Can I change my bang to me, Octavia, and Raven?
I'll allow that as well.
I will enter myself in any bang with any character on this entire
I'm
going
to change mine
show.
To Raven, Clark, Octavia.
Okay, you piece
and
of
yourself.
Raven, Amori, and Murphy is a thoughtful answer. They had chemistry, all three of them.
We're in a Murphy progressive world here. It's like
we
20,
are
2,500
2,540.
There's three-way marriages going on.
Okay.
And my kill is what I was going to say is lame, but I said Gabriel killing Russell. I don't really need that. That was just a random thing I thought of.
That was pretty lame.
But in a world where, like, back when they're still in Sanctum and Russell's still looking for Gabriel and wanting to kill him and Gabriel has to kill him.
I'll allow that, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. I'm sure I could have thought of something better, but I was panicking with you guys all saying your answers, even though I'm the one who came up with this months ago and never thought about it once.
Yeah.
But there it was.
Oh,
that's the bang kill Mary.
I'm gonna miss this show so much.
Yeah, we're gonna miss it. I just want to say with Bingetown TV, man, we created this podcast so that these kinds of shows can be talked about. You know, when we talk about TV shows here, we talk about entertainment. And to us, The 100, We never got to do this on pod. We will one day, but we did like a bracket of our favorite shows ever. And the fact that The 100 is one of our favorite shows ever just is a testament to the characters, the writers, the storylines. Like, that show is a top five show for me of all time, and it's quote-unquote a CW show. I'm so entertained by The 100. It makes me feel so happy that I would put it on my top five with shows like Sopranos, Breaking Bad, things like that, that a lot of people would never, ever think to do because they just never would give it a chance. And that's why we created this podcast, because we want to talk about shows that maybe, you know, are underrated or undervalued. Just the fact that we chose The 100 as our first show, I love it.
Well fucking said.
Yeah, I mean, we released the first review episode to like maybe what, 10 people?
Yeah.
15 people. And now the interviews have been incredible. I mean, the journey that we've gone on just through season 7, but for the five of us with season, you know, all of us catching up season 1 through 4, watching 5, like 6 live, and now 7 live. Like, what an absolute blast it has been.
Getting to even talk to even a single actor on this show, whether it be someone that was in one single season or a mainstay for the entire show, it's been a fucking dream. If you told me a year ago we would have talked to the people we talked to and had the success we had, I would not have believed you at all.
Yeah, I mean, like, what, 2 months ago, we were ripping shots, getting ready to talk to Dr. Jackson. Like, yeah, what right? the fuck? Like, we've been watching this guy on TV for years, and now he's just in a Zoom chat with us laughing.
Crazy.
I'm doing, like, jumping jacks. I'm so fucking nervous beforehand. I'm trying to get some energy out before we fucking interview these guys.
I do want to say, this might not be the last episode of The 100 that we talk about. We're still kind of working on it in the you know, background of Bingetown TV. We may be making a couple months down the road, we might be revisiting our personal favorite episodes that we actually talked about earlier in this episode, and maybe we'll do a recap of them for fun.
Yeah, and the first ever episode we'll do for fun. Mm-hmm. And if we ever get interviews, we're not going to say no.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you guys have any episodes you want us to do, fucking send it over. We will happily do that.
Yep.
We love this fucking show. And that is the episode, man. Thanks for sticking with us while we recap this amazing show. Jimmy said it best. We love it, and we're so happy to share it with you guys. And like Luke said, we may fuck around and podcast some random episodes of The 100 while we wait around for the green light for the prequel, which we better get. For now, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our show on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. Thanks for listening, and have the best day, week, month, year ever.
We love you guys.
May we meet again.
You go and play Stay Odon.